So if you have your Bible tonight, and I hope you do, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 24, the very last verse of 1 Corinthians. We as a church want to pray as Jesus prayed. We want to pray as the apostles prayed. We want to pray as God's word tells us to pray, and we want to pray in accordance to God's will. And the one individual whose prayers are recorded for us in the pages of Scripture more than any other individual's prayers is the Apostle Paul. He is the example that God has given us concerning how believers are to pray in accordance with God's will. And so we have strived to learn from him faithfully as a church. By listening in on Paul's prayer closet, we have learned what to adore, appreciate, ask for, admonish, and amen in our own prayer lives. And we've come to the section of our study that has been personally new for me to investigate, and that is what to amen in prayer. In other words, what certain realities we as believers ought to confess as true when praying for our fellow believers and their various situations that they find themselves in. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray for people, often the circumstances are so overwhelming, I don't even know where to start in my prayers. When it comes to deadly diseases that someone is fighting, or moral failures that overcome someone, or sudden tragedies that come upon the world, there's a lot that I don't know. I don't know what the outcome of that illness might be. I don't know what the root causes for that moral failure might have been. I don't know God's reason for the sudden tragedies that come on the earth. There's a lot I don't know. So what do I do in moments like that? Well, I can do what Paul does, and I can declare an amen. I can confess in faith what I know to be true, and I can trust that God will act in this circumstance in accordance with those unchanging truths. Just like Paul did in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, which we looked at over a period of several weeks, you know, we can have the same response of, I don't know everything that's going on over there. I don't know what you guys are dealing with, but this I do know. I know the transforming grace of Christ is with you. I know the purifying love of God is with you. And I know that the fruitful fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you all. And it is in that confidence, in these never-changing realities, that I can close my letter, Paul says, and I can close my prayer with. And that's what we can do as well. In light of uncertain circumstances, we can confess unshakable spiritual truths, and we can commit our prayers to those amens. And as Paul showed us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, we can amen that as believers, the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us always. Those are unchanging circumstances, or excuse me, those are unchanging realities that are true no matter our circumstances. And tonight we're going to look at another one of the amens that Paul gives in the New Testament, and that is that the devotion of the body is with us. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 16, 24, where Paul writes, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." But before we proceed any further, let's ask the Lord to bless our time in the teaching and receiving of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truths of your word. We thank you for the example of Paul. We thank you for how he teaches us. Being moved by your Holy Spirit teaches us with every word. And Father, we just thank you for the certain truth that you remind us of tonight, that no matter what we go through in life, no matter where we go, the devotion of the body of Christ, those who are truly in the body of Christ, is always with us. And that can be a confidence we can carry in the midst of uncertain circumstances and situations. And so, Father, I just pray that you would impress your word upon our hearts and change us, so that we would be the type of people that even when we're dealing with things we do not understand, we go back to the truths which never change, so that even when all other lights go out, we cling to the light of your word and your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned already, one of the unshakably blessed realities that Paul wanted to declare over the Corinthian church, an unshakable reality that is true of all believers, is that the devotion of the body is with us. That is here in 1 Corinthians 16:24, where Paul says, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now, this is a very unique benedictory amen, one that is not found in any of Paul's other letters. Paul's normal benediction, you can look one verse back, which is, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." That's what he typically writes. But suddenly he writes, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Paul comes to the end of this letter in 1 Corinthians, and he wants to assure that church of his unshakable love and his devotion towards them in Jesus Christ. A devotion that, listen to this, was as sure and steadfast towards them as the grace of Christ and the love of God. That should immediately make you take a step back and say, whoa, what is Paul talking about here? In other words, what Paul is giving here is an unshakable reality in those believers' lives, that the devotion, I'm going to put it this way, as a conclusion at the end of what I'm going to get to eventually, that the devotion of those in the body of Christ would always be with them. Always with them. The true body of Christ would always be devoted to the true body of Christ in love. And brothers and sisters, this is true for us as well. For those of us who are truly in Christ, the true body of Christ will always be devoted to us. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, reminds us of that unshakable reality tonight. But before we can really understand verse 24, we really need to see the preceding context of verses 19 through 23. Extremely important. The preceding context, if you read over it, is all about the rich love and fellowship that exists between those who are born again, who are truly in Jesus Christ. If you look back at verse 19 and on, really it's just kind of like a love fest all over the place. Verse 19 says, "The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hands," right? I almost get the picture of an Italian wedding where everybody's going around giving each other bear hugs and "Tony, it's so good to see you," and they're just showering affection on each other and on everyone around them. You get a picture, a beautiful picture here of the rich fellowship of love that exists between members of the body of Christ. But notice what defines the contours and context of that fellowship of love. It is a genuine love and affection for Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 22, after all of the greetings that just got passed around, "If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed." The foundation for this devotion towards each other was a fervency of love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, there could be no genuine, ongoing devotion and affection. Paul says, if anyone has no love for the Lord, and that word love is phileo in the Greek. It's not the usual agape love that's often talked about in Scripture, of faithful love or volitional love, the love of the will. This is phileo love, and it means likely having a strong affection. And if there's a purposeful distinction being made here for why Paul uses phileo, Paul is saying this: the foundation of our Christian devotion towards one another is not even agape love. It's just phileo love towards Christ. It's having a strong, genuine, fervent affection for Jesus. That is the basis of Christian devotion. Brothers and sisters, that is the foundation of Christian devotion towards one another within the body of Christ. It is not uninterrupted faithfulness, right? It is not agape love perfectly lived out all the time, where we're constantly choosing by our wills to demonstrate a love for God. No, it is genuine affection. It is phileo love from the heart that characterizes one's life. And so often, why am I making this point? It's because churches often get this mixed up. A believer fails to show agape love, the love of the will towards God. a believer commits some sin of omission or commission. And there are a lot of times when believers in churches are at that very moment ready to kick them out. I cannot fellowship with this person who is a sinner. He committed this. How could I ever get over that? Right? The church body's devotion lasted only as long as the believers outwardly perceived perfection. And as soon as that picture of perfection is broken, the church's devotion towards them is ripped apart. The moment that was gone, the body's devotion was gone too. And Paul says, no. The grounds of Christians' devotion to each other in the body of Christ is not the constant presence of agape love towards Christ. None of us here could ever demonstrate that. We all choose to sin on a daily basis. It is the genuine presence of phileo love towards Christ. I think Paul's saying here, if there's a strong, genuine affection for Jesus Christ, I can work with that. I can devote myself to you. But if you don't even have a strong affection for the Lord, if there's no genuine love there, then this isn't going to work. We can't get along, and there's no fellowship. As Paul says next, if anyone has no love for the Lord, he says, let him be accursed. Let him be considered still under a curse. You say, well, what curse is that? It's the curse of God's wrath towards sin. It's the curse that Christ removes for all those who trust in him. God's wrath towards sin. Paul says, if you have no love for the Lord, if you have no ongoing, driving, motivating affection for Jesus that even drives you in repentance back to him, then you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. You're outside the Blessed One. Because those who are born again love the Lord. Peter's already taught this, in fact, this very thing on Sunday mornings. 1 Peter 1:8, when he was explaining the miraculous everyday moments of the new birth, if you remember, I'm sure you do, just kidding. Peter writes, though you have not seen him, you love him. Those who have been born again have been given a supernatural love. Paul seconds this in Ephesians 6:24 when he writes there that believers are all those who love our Lord Jesus with a love incorruptible. Because if you don't love Jesus, you're lost. That's what the Bible says. Because to know Jesus is to love him, and to love him is to be compelled to serve him. Believers might not always show agape love perfectly all the time. But man, believers do have phileo love for Jesus, a love that never wavers. It's like a certain gentleman that I ministered to in my previous years of pastoring. I'm trying to word this delicately. He had some issues. He had a lot of behavioral quirks. He had a long ways to go in his sanctification. He didn't always demonstrate a perfect love of the will in making decisions towards Christ. He sinned. And sometimes that created issues. But man, he loved Jesus. And if you gave him the word of Christ, he was like putty in a sculptor's hand. And I'd rather devote myself to one man like that, who might have 1,000 issues, but he's ready to change when he hears the word of Christ because he loves Jesus so much, than have 100 men who, though outwardly moral and more socially adjusted, are unbending in their self-righteousness to the word of Christ. Because that's how genuine affection for the Lord is seen. It is seen in one's submission to his word. As Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that's the foundation of Christian devotion to one another in the body of Christ. As long as you genuinely love Jesus and you show that by being committed to following him and what he says, no matter the cost, then we as a body will devote ourselves to you, to minister to you, to encourage you in your walk with Christ, to love you no matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the commitment, no matter the loss. If you love Jesus, the devotion of the body, the true body of Christ, is with you. As Paul exemplifies in verse 24, he says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus, amen. In other words, if you have an affection for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have a devotion towards you. That's what Paul's response was to the Corinthian church. I am lovingly committed to you. Even if you're struggling working out the everyday implications of your faith, if you love Jesus, then I love you and I am with you to the end of the line. Think about how encouraging that would have been for the Corinthian believers to have heard when they first had this letter read. They were struggling as believers and as a church in a lot of different ways. They were struggling with partiality among the membership. They were struggling with sexual impurity, with greed, with fraud, with sensuality, with aestheticism, with rebellion, with cruelty, with pride, with biblical doctrine. It was so bad that Paul says in chapter 11, verse 17 of this letter, when you come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. And so those Corinthians were struggling in a lot of ways. And Paul begins to confront them on each and every single one of those issues. Can you imagine being a member in the Corinthian church and listening to the letter of 1 Corinthians being spoken to you the very first time it was given? Where Paul's basically saying, what are you doing? And over here, what in the world is that? Right? And why are you doing this when you should be doing that? It'd be easy to think, man, Paul's washed out. I mean, he is through with us. We are too much for him. This whole letter, it's a sign that he's done with us, right? This is his parting words. Good luck and good riddance. There you go, Corinthian church, right? But Paul makes it clear, especially here at the very end, no, the reason why he has written this letter, the reason why he says, I'm confronting you with all of this truth and all of these issues is not because I'm done with you. It's because I'm devoted to you and nothing can change that. As Paul says back in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. See, it was Paul's love that drove him to speak the truth to them. And he was committed, he was devoted to loving the Corinthian church biblically. They had 1,000 issues. But if they were in Christ and they had a genuine love for him, Paul was committed to ministering to them no matter the pain. No matter how long it took, he would never give up. He was committed to loving biblically. Notice all those in Christ Jesus. No one left out. No one left out. He was really devoted. He really was. We need to remember that this was not a one-and-done counseling situation with the Corinthians. I'm putting this in a pastoral term because this is what I do, right? It wasn't like Paul said, okay, here's your problems. Here's your solutions. I hope you're okay. Goodbye, right? From what we can tell, Paul went back and forth with the Corinthian believers at least 4 times in just letters alone over a duration of nearly a half a decade or more. And you know what that's a demonstration of? Not merely the love of Paul, but the very devotion of Christ himself. As Jesus declares in Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Paul, here in 1 Corinthians, is a picture and an expression of that very love and devotion. Christ's correcting and encouraging love never fails, and the Corinthian believers were able to see that through the never-failing love of Paul. And I would contend that Paul serves as an example of the devotion that the true body of Christ is to have towards all believers, towards all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. The devotion of the body, the very body of Christ, is with them. And so Paul's benediction should be ours. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. This passage immediately strikes me in 2 ways. There's a ton of other things that are flowing through my head that I could share, but these are two major things that come to mind when I think about this. One, this passage strikes me first with conviction. I want to be known. And I want our church to be known by this type of devotion, where it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what your ongoing struggles or sins are. If you love Jesus and you're committed to following him no matter the cost, then we are with you to the end of the line. I want our body to be a manifestation of this type of loving devotion to all who are in Christ, and I want to be a pastor who demonstrates that devotion too, that is patient with all and shows the very steadfastness of Christ I'm going to ask for that tonight in prayer, that we would be this type of body for many of the people even that are on this list. And I would encourage you to do so as well. That we would be a church known by this type of devotion. And second, not only does this passage strike me with conviction, but I think it strikes me also with encouragement, which is exactly what Paul intended when he wrote it. Because this is an amen. We need to remember that this is a sure and certain truth that belongs to me and to every single believer in Jesus Christ. The devotion of the body will always be with me as someone who is in Christ. And I can take confidence in that. Even that's what Jesus promised in the Gospels. He says, there is no person who has lost even family in this life that will not receive tenfold, both in this life and in the life to come. We can take confidence in that the devotion of the body will always be with me as someone who's in Christ. Jesus is devoted to me unwaveringly. And those who are truly in his body will always come around me to bear me up, no matter where I go or what I face. And I say that personally, too. I've seen this moving here to Grace Chapel. When I left a family in Pennsylvania, I found a family here in Grace Chapel. Why is that? Coincidence? No. That's because it is a sure and certain truth, always true in Jesus, that the devotion of the body is with those who belong to Christ. They're always there. And in the midst of changing circumstances and situations, when I don't know everything that's going on or is going to happen, I can take heart in this constant truth that the devotion of the body is with me. And so I'm going to thank God for that tonight in prayer, and I'd encourage you to do so as well. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. The devotion of the body of Christ is with us. Let us be that body, and let us thank the Lord for that body tonight.